Matthew chapter 7, the book of Matthew chapter 7. We'll begin our reading in verse number 7, Matthew 7, 7. Remind all the deacons I need to meet with you tonight at 5:45 in preparation for our Lord's Supper that we'll be observing tonight. So I hope you'll come praying about that. And many of you, most of you and all of you will be here as we observe the Lord's Supper tonight. And deacons, please meet me in the Berean classroom. That's the blue room down the hallway at 5:45 tonight. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Matthew is our New Testament book, and just so you're with me here, I'm due to fly out for India on January the 9th, so I believe I'm going to wait till I get home, God willing, if I get home, to start a new Old Testament book. So I'm sharing this with you that we'll probably tie ourselves down to the book of Matthew here. Of course, next week is Christmas and so on. We'll probably just tie ourselves down here before I start some other series, like another topical series or another Old Testament book. So just hope you understand that. All right, Matthew 7, 7. We've come to this portion of Scripture in our study through Matthew. Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. What man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? I preached to you this morning on this topic, encouragements to pray. Encouragements to pray. Let's pray together. We share this thought with you. Father, we love you. Help us now. Open our understanding to your word. We know that you have said what you meant and you've meant what you said. And I pray that you open our understanding to know exactly what you're telling us here. Help us, Lord, not to take it out of context. Help us, Lord, to preach it for exactly the way you gave it. And may you speak to us today. Challenge us from your word. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to these verses, we're approaching the end of what's called the Sermon on the Mount. This sermon began in chapter 5 and goes through the end of chapter 7. Now, in this particular Sermon on the Mount, the Lord has shared His will for us in being poor in spirit to loving our enemies. He's spoken to the believers to tell us that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, who should let our light shine before men. We've seen the high standard of God's law and how no one can fully keep it. The Lord has cautioned us to make sure that we serve our God with the right motive and pray in accordance to His will. I'm just summarizing some of the things that we've already considered beginning in chapter 5 here. Along with this, He emphasized our heart being in heaven, not on this earth, and not worrying about the things of this life. He went on to tell us how we ought not to judge others unrighteously, but judge ourselves first. Now, when we look at all these things the Lord has been preaching in this sermon, one can become very discouraged, realizing that there is no way that he or she can live up to these things that the Lord is bringing out in this message. Now, this brings us to our text for today. These verses before us are about the Lord's encouragements to pray. Now, while there are those who lift these verses out of context and they try to make them, as one man said, a supernatural shopping list to get what they want. In other words, some people think this means that God's saying, just ask what you want, I'll give it to you. Seek and you'll find, knock and the door should be open. But folks, listen to me. The only way you're going to come to that conclusion is if you take these verses out of context, my friends. Now, I'm going to tell you something here. We must always remember to take Scripture within its given immediate context. Another person put it this way. If you take these verses out of context of the Sermon on the Mount and divorce it from everything else in God's Word about prayer, you will misunderstand it. Therefore, since we see these encouragements during the Sermon on the Mount, they have to do with the Sermon on the Mount. In other words, the Lord is sharing with these people. Now get this. This is so important that you understand this. The Lord is sharing with these people that He is aware and He knows that they nor we can keep what He's been preaching without the help of our Heavenly Father above. These things coming from the mouth of our Savior are good things, and the Father above can give them to those who ask Him. Are you with me? In other words, everything that Jesus has been preaching, don't judge others, judge yourself first. Be poor in spirit, be merciful, all these kind of things. Love your enemies. He's all of a sudden saying, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. He's saying, you cannot do these things alone. You need my help. You need the Father's guidance. You need the Father's answer. And only God, your Father, can give you strength to do what I've been asking you to do. Now, this being the case, I want to look at this together. We're going to do a Bible study this morning on prayer. Now, we're going to be preaching on this subject right here and this passage. By the time you leave, you should understand exactly what this passage is teaching. But in order to teach you what this passage says, I'm going to have to start bringing other things out about prayer so we don't get confused. Now, this being the case, three things. Number one, I see an explanation. Now, we see this in verses 7 and 8. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now notice in these verses how the Lord Jesus says, if we ask, we will receive. If we seek, we will find. If we knock, it will be opened unto us. Now as we seek to explain these verses, we want to keep them within the context they are given. However, we're going to be applying this to our overall prayer life. Now, there may be those around today, I've already said this, but I'll say it again, who try to use these verses as a blanket promise from the Lord to answer all prayers by giving exactly what is asked for. Now, is this a correct explanation of these verses? Let me say loud and clear, that is not what the Lord is teaching. Because if it is, he's contradicting himself in other passages of Scripture, my friends. You've got to remember that within the pages of God's Word, how the Lord answers prayer according to His will, 1 John 5:14. This explains why He chooses to answer our prayers in different ways. Now, I've said this so many times, many of you, maybe all of you have heard this, but understand that God will give you one of three answers. He will either answer you yes to what you're asking, like He did with Hannah in 1 Samuel 1 verse 27 when she said, give me a man child, and He said yes and gave her Samuel. He may choose to give you a no, like He did with the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 verses 8 and 9 where in context he's talking about the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him, and he said, three times I besought, I begged the Lord to take the thorn out, and God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Translated today, you know what that means? It means God said, no, Paul, I'm not taking it out. Number three, He may answer with a wait, like He did with Mary and Martha when their brother Lazarus was sick in John chapter 11, verses 3 and 6. Whenever Lazarus was only sick, the Bible says he stayed right where he was for 2 days. Then he came. In other words, his answer to them was not no, and it wasn't yes, it was wait a while. Now, let me ask you a question. You listen to me. Is Jesus going to answer them with a wait and answer Paul no and answer them yes and then give us, say, just ask what you want and I'll do it for you? No, that's not what He's teaching. It can't be. So you have to keep it in context. And this being the case, the key to our understanding of what He's saying, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. The word it's not there, but that's what, find it. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. The key to this is verse 11. Now, verse number 11, notice the language. I'm going to preach a little bit more about this here in just a minute. But it says, if ye then being evil know how to give, what's the next word? Good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give what? Good things to them that ask him. Now I'm getting ahead of myself, but you know what that word good means? According to my study, it doesn't mean it looks good and feels good, but it means it is good for you. That's powerful, friends. You know what Jesus is saying here? He's saying if you're asking for good things and you're seeking for good things and you're knocking for good things, and he knows what's good for us and he knows what's not. He's saying if you ask for these things, you'll get it. You seek them, you'll find them. You knock for them, the door will be open to you. This means that God always answers his children with good things, friends. In the context of these verses, we know that prayer for God's help to live according to his message is a good thing. I mean, wouldn't you agree with that? He's saying right here, you need my help. This is a good thing. And he's saying, if you ask me for it, you'll get it. If you seek it, you'll find it. If you knock for it, I'm going to open it to you. He's saying, you can trust me to help you live this way. He's not saying you're going to be perfect, but he's saying, if you're praying for it, I can help you live according to my will. We're not going to be perfect and we're going to fall short. However, we can boldly come to our God in prayer, believing he will answer our prayers and divinely help us to live in a way that pleases him. Let me ask you a question. How much time did you spend on your knees, if you can get down, if you can't, just in prayer? How much time in prayer did you pray this week through the Sermon on the Mount? God, help me be poor in spirit. Now I'm convicted. God, help me be merciful. Help me love my enemies. Help me do good to them that hate me and persecute me. Help me not to judge people this week wrongly, but help me to get the beam out of my own eye. How much time did you spend in prayer praying that God will help you live according to the Sermon on the Mount? That's what he's teaching, friends. He's saying, I know you can't do it. Do you recognize that? Do you understand you're dependent? You come to me and ask me to help you, and I promise I'll help you. You seek me, and you'll find me. You knock and keep knocking, and I'll eventually open. This is what he's talking about. Those who ask, seek, and knock will be answered with good things from our Heavenly Father. It's important we understand these words and what they mean. Notice how these words are in the present tense. Look at verse number 8. For everyone that what? Asketh, that's present tense, receiveth. He that seeketh, that's present tense, findeth. To him that knocketh, that's present tense. It's asketh, receiveth, knocketh. In these three words, we see three separate thoughts about our prayer life. Now, this is all under the explanation, because this explanation is really a major part of the meat of this message. But let's look at these three words: asketh, seeketh, knocketh. Now, again, in context, he's talking about if you're asking for good things, if you're seeking for good things, if you're knocking for good things, you will be answered, the door will be open, and you will find. But you've got to understand this. We're seeking to explain it. Let's look at this word, asketh. In this word, there's a word that comes out about our prayer life, and that is this. It's the word dependence. Because let me say this to you. When you truly ask God for something, what are you telling him? That you don't have it, but he does. So in this asking, we are saying, God, we recognize we can't do this, but we know you can help us. Have you come to that point in your Christian life? You know where you and I get in trouble? When we try it all alone. And when we think we can do it by ourselves. Somebody says, I've never lived that way. I've never told God that I don't need him. Did you read your Bible every day this week? Did you pray this week? Did you obey him this week? Did you give out the gospel this week? See, our actions speak a whole lot louder than our words, friends. In this word asketh, we see the word dependence come out. There's a man that put it this way. In this, he linked our impotence to God's omnipotence. I like that. He's saying, do you recognize when you're asking, do you really recognize that I have what you need? Dependence. Then there's a second word. It's the word seeketh. In that word seeketh, asketh, we see dependence. Seeketh, we see desire. In other words, we realize that we don't have something we need, and we're seeking it because it means a lot to us. We don't currently have it, but we desire to find it. You're not going to seek something that doesn't mean something to you, friends. I'm saying, listen, if you had something just giving you trouble and all this other kind of stuff and you lost it, you're going to say, where'd I put that thing? I need it. No, let me tell you what you go after, what you seek after, what you want, what you desire. You lost your kid. You listening to me? You'll turn this world upside down to find them. Let me tell you why. Because you desire them. You love them. You know what he's saying? He's saying, ask, depend on me for good things, and I'll answer it. Seek, desire those good things, and you'll find it. Desire. Then he uses the word knocketh. This word knocketh is the word determination. So there's three D's for you. You know how a preacher's mind works. We do that to help you remember things. Remember. So asketh, that's dependence. Seeketh, that's desire. Knocketh, that's determination. In other words, you're going to come to the door and you're presently knocking. This might drive you nuts and insane, I know that, but you'll remember it. Just like last week, you may not remember my message, but I'm going to tell you one thing you will remember, the stick sticking out of my eye, right? This week, what is it? What are you going to remember this week? This? Is that getting annoying to you? It's annoying me, and I'm the one doing it. The parallel passage with this comes in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. You don't need to turn to it, but it's the parallel passage with this passage here. And it's the story of the man who has a friend, and he comes to visit him. He has no food for him. You can read this later. So he goes to his friend's house, and his friend's in bed, and he knocks at his door and says, I have somebody come. I don't have any bread. Will you give me bread? And the voice from the inside says, we're already in the bed. Leave me alone. I'm paraphrasing. But you know what that guy did? He kept knocking. It's starting to hurt, by the way, but anyway. And he said, even though, now read it for yourself, even though he wouldn't do it because he necessarily wanted to, he basically said that man got up so he'd leave him alone. And he's saying if that man is wicked and would not do it for his love but would do it because he kept on knocking, then he followed it up in Luke 11 and said, how much more is your heavenly Father going to give good things to them that ask, seek, and knock? This is powerful, friends. He's saying, you come to me. You depend on me. You ask me for it. Recognize that it's found in me. That's what God's saying. Then he's saying, you seek it. You desire it. You're not just haphazardly going. Because if you really don't want it, you're not going to ask and you're not going to seek. He's saying, do you really desire this? Do you really want to live this way? Do you really want my blessing on your life? Seek it. And then he's saying, come to my door and knock. And keep knocking. And keep knocking. Let me tell you why. God loves to fellowship with his children. And sometimes God will say, I wonder how bad they really want it. I'm going to prove them. You know what we do every now and then? Knock. He didn't open. He didn't answer my prayers. The Bible told me to knock. Oh, yes, it did in the present tense. That means, are you still knocking? Because if you're not, you're disobeying that verse. While I ask him, he never answered me. Wait a minute. Are you still asking? Now, friends, he does answer yes, no, and wait. So if he's giving you those answers, then quit. He's answered you. But if you know it's a good thing, good and right before God and according to his will, you keep asking, you keep seeking, you keep knocking. My friends, we are to ask and keep asking, seek and keep seeking, knock and keep knocking. When we do this, we can be assured that God will answer according to his will. And whatever he answers is going to be with good things. Doesn't mean it's going to look good or feel good or taste good, but it is good for you. And only God can do something like that. Now, before I go on to the next point here, I want to take a moment here and try to help somebody who may be sitting right here today and say, you know, that's what I'm doing. I'm asking, I'm seeking. The Lord's not hearing my prayers. If this is the case for you, let me remind you that answered prayers are conditional in the Word of God. Now, I told you I'm going to be popping around today. Even though what I'm doing is explaining these verses, I'm bringing out some other things because you need to get the full gamut, if you will, of prayer. He's saying, ask shall be given, seeking you shall find, knocking the door shall be open. You're saying, I'm doing it. That's not true because God's not answered my prayer. Well, number one, are you God's child? Because Proverbs 15:29 and James 5:16, he only hears the prayers of the righteous. If you're not righteous, he's not listening to you. Number two, are you harboring known sin? Because in Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Amen. It's the whole thing. He's not saying, ask. Hey, you can have sin in your heart. You can have sin in your life. You can have bitterness toward them. You can hate them and you can do that. But you just ask me and I'll give you what you want. That's not what he's teaching, friends. He's not teaching that at all. Some people try to make it sound like he is, but he's not. He does not contradict other verses of Scripture, friends. So if you're here today and you're saying, I really need that, I recognize I need that, and yes, I've got a desire for that, it is godly. I mean, that's the will of God. I mean, it's a good thing. It has to be. But God's not answering your prayer. Then either he just wants you to keep knocking because he's enjoying your desire so much and he's testing you, or could there be sin in your heart and you know it, but you're too proud to confess it? Another thought. You could be asking amiss, James 4:3. In other words, you could be asking for something that God doesn't want you to have. James 4:3. You may not be abiding in Christ in James 15:7. If you abide in me, Jesus said, and my word abideth in you, ask what you will, and the Father will give it to you according to his will. It could be that you're not asking according to his will, 1 John 5:14. I know I'm skipping around here a little bit. I don't like doing that necessarily, but I don't want you to get a false interpretation of what this passage here in Matthew 7 is truly teaching. He's saying, ask and keep asking for good things. Knock and keep knocking for good things. Seek and keep seeking for good things. Keep your heart clean. Make sure that your heart is right with God. Make sure that you're in accordance with my will and trust me to answer according to my will. Submit to me. And if you're my child, I promise you I'll give you the right thing. You got it? Do you have it, yes or no? If you don't, I got to go back and re-explain it again. Do you have it, yes or no? I thought I'd get a lot more yeses on that right there. Number two, not only the explanation, but number two, he gives an example. Not only an explanation, but an example. Verses 9 and 10. Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asked a fish, would he give him a serpent? Now, the parallel passage in Luke chapter 11 goes on to say, or if he asked an egg, will he give him a scorpion? Because in my study it came out that back in this day, scorpions were very light colored and they'd roll themselves up and they'd look like an egg laying there. You know, the Lord has a sense of humor, friends. Last week he talks about the beam in the eye. He says, if you ask and you seek and you knock for good things, you'll get it, you'll find it. The door open to you. Then he says, what man of you, if your son comes to you and says, can I have some bread? By the way, is bread a need? Yes or no? Is bread a need or a want? It's both, but can it be classified as a need? See, bread and fish were the staple diet back in this day. It's what people ate. They needed it. You see what Jesus is teaching? He's saying if your boy comes to you and asks you for something he really needs, you going to give him something that's going to hurt him instead? If he comes to you and says, listen, I need bread, Daddy. He says, you going to take a stone and hand it to him? He said, if he comes to you and says, I need some fish, and I recognize that you're the only one that can give it to me, Daddy. He said, are you going to take a serpent and hand it to him instead? And he said, he comes and says, I need an egg to eat. I've got a void. I want to eat an egg today. I need an egg. And he said, instead of doing that, you take something that's deceiving and deceptive and hand it to him. And it's not an egg. It's a scorpion. It's going to hurt him and kill him and injure him. He's given an example. And I'm telling you that through this, the Lord is showing how an earthly father will answer his son as long as his son is asking for right things. But on the flip side of it, don't we have sons today and children today who ask for serpents and scorpions and stones instead? Amen or not, folks? Because they don't know better. So you read this the opposite way. He's saying as long as what they're asking is right and good for them. You as a human being who is limited and not like God, you answer their good request. You got it? This is what he's teaching. But if they ask for a serpent or they ask for a scorpion or they ask for a stone, does that mean he's saying, ask and it shall be given? I'll give it to you. Here's a scorpion. You asked for me. Here it is. No, he's saying good things, good gifts. That's the key to this whole passage. For instance, I told you this before, but when our son Judson was young, he was sitting at the kitchen counter. I was with him. There was a sharp knife sitting close by at this time, and I was there with him, and he reached out for that knife. He wasn't old enough to talk that much, and boy, has that changed. Glory. But anyway, and he said, Daddy, can I have it? He wanted it. It looked intriguing to him. He didn't know that knife could hurt him. He just knew that it looked good, it was shiny, and he wanted it. He probably wanted it because it was intriguing to him. However, obviously as his dad, he asked me for that. But I didn't give it to him. Let me tell you why. Now, he's still learning this, but I really do know more than he does. And I knew that if I gave it to him, would I be answering his request? Yes. But if I gave it to him, I knew that it would do more harm than good. Now, who thinks we're better than God, friends? That's the example. Then number three, he gives the excellence. I see an explanation, I see an example, and I see an excellence. I see something excelling something else. And we see this in verse number 11. He says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more, there's the excelling, the excellence, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? In this verse, we see the excellence of our heavenly Father over the earthly Father. Again, notice the emphasis placed on good things and how much more our heavenly Father will give good things to them that ask him. In this, we see that what an earthly father is able and willing to give his children, our heavenly Father is able to do much more than that. Praise the Lord. He's good all the time. And all the time he's good, right? Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Remember that our heavenly Father always gives good things. And I've already said this, but I'm reminding you again that I'm told that this word good here carries the idea of something that may not look good, but it's for a good purpose. The final result is going to be good. Let us constantly be asking, seeking, and knocking, trusting our God to give what is good and right in his own eyes. For instance, if your child asked for a bottle of poison, you gave it to him and he died, you could say, I gave him what he asked for. But you would have been foolish to do that, and you know that. And why do some people say that God is not good when he says no? There was a lady in my study that came out. I'm talking about finding illustrations and so on. She had a sick child. And she said, I prayed for my sick child to get better, and God said no, and I'll never pray again. I'll never pray again. Does that mean we always understand his answers? Does it mean if he says no, that it's going to make complete sense to us, we understand it? I don't understand why he didn't heal that little child. But all I know is God is good. And he always answers his children with good things. It takes faith to believe that, friends. You know, somebody said, really, we ought to thank God that he doesn't answer all our prayers with yes. We don't know what is best for us, and if we got all that we asked for, our lives might soon be ruined. By the way, be careful what you ask. Sometimes our prayers don't turn out the way we expect. There was once a man who was pursued by a roaring, hungry lion. Some of you have heard this story, I'm sure, but as that lion was sprinting after him, he felt his hot breath on the back of his neck, running for his life. He knew his time was short. So he fell on his knees and prayed to God and cried out and said, Lord, please make this lion a Christian. And all of a sudden he stopped and turned around, and that lion is down on all, he's already on all fours, but he's just knelt down and he's praying. This man says, God's answered my prayers. And he walked up to him and just got close to his mouth and was hearing what he's praying, and that lion said, Dear Lord, thank you for this meal that I'm about to partake of. Your prayers don't always get answered the way that you seem is right. Many of you, that's the only story you're going to remember out of this whole thing. Some of you are going to wake up with this sound, and others are going to be running from lions tonight in your dreams, right? Even though this is a silly story, we need to understand that our Heavenly Father exceeds all earthly fathers. And is answering his children's asking, seeking, and knocking. And what's the key thought? With good things. Let us continuously be coming to him, trusting him with the right answer. Somebody said, I asked God for strength that I might achieve, and I was made weak that I may learn to humbly obey. I asked God for health that I may do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I may be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. And I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I don't know what you're praying about, but the encouragements to pray in this passage is not about our selfish wants. It's about the bread and fish and eggs. And if you recognize, I can't, but you can, and I really want what you want, God, and I understand that you want me to be determined and keep knocking and keep knocking and keep knocking and keep knocking and trust you for the answer, then I have Bible to say that how much more shall your Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask, seek, and knock. Let's trust God for the good things, even if we don't see the good in them. God can answer your prayers. Don't stop praying. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Psalm 65:2. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Jeremiah 33:3, God said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. James 4:2, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. John 14:13, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. 1 John 5:14-15, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Let us be actively asking, seeking, knocking, and then trusting God for the good things that only comes from his hand. Father, help us today. Help us to trust you. Thy will be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. Question: do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? And have you really been saved? When you pray, does God hear you because you're his child? Is there anybody here today, say, Jody, I don't know the answer to that question. Or maybe you know you're lost, but you say this, Jody, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'd like to make sure of that today. If that's you, you say, Jody, pray for me. I need to be sure I'm a Christian. I don't know that, but I know this. When I pray, I want God to hear me, and I want to make sure that I'm saved. Or maybe you're lost and you know it. Maybe you're just doubting, or you know you've never been saved. Is there anybody like that? You say, Jody, pray for me. I need to ask Jesus to come into my heart and forgive me and really mean it and turn from my sin and trust Christ as my Savior. Is there one today say, pray for me? That's what I need to do. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? My eyes are surfing. My eyes are looking. I'm looking. You say, pray for me. I'm not saved. Anybody at all? Let me ask you this question. Is there anything hindering your prayers? You're saved, but is there some sin in your heart that you know should not be there? Now, folks, I'm not asking, are you perfect? That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, are you harboring sin? The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, that means you know it's there, but you're not willing to give it up. You understand the difference? Maybe you say, Jody, there's a sin in my life. God knows what it is. Folks, it doesn't have to be anything big. It could be an unforgiving spirit. It could be anything. And you say, Jody, pray for me. I'm concerned that my prayers are hindered because there's a sin I've been regarding in my heart. And God's speaking to me and telling me I need to get rid of that. Is there somebody like that? Be honest. Raise your hand high in the air with mine. Yes, there's hands being raised to that. Thank you for being honest. That's what you need to do today, is make this the day where you say, God, I've been regarding it no longer. I want to repent of it. Get it out of my life. Don't you want to know that God is hearing you when you pray? He doesn't do that if you're regarding that sin. Have you say, Jody, far as I know, my heart's clean. I'm not perfect, but I don't believe my prayers are hindered. But you say, Jody, I've been tempted, or maybe you've already have, to quit praying. I've stopped praying about that or that person or that circumstance. And God's speaking to me today in the area of just keep knocking, just keep seeking, just keep asking, don't quit, don't give up. Have you say, Jody, that's how God's speaking to me. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine, please? You say, that's how God's speaking to me. Yes, many hands for that. God bless you. God bless you. Have you say, Jody, God's speaking to me about just trusting him. I realize that what I'm asking him for, he may not give it to me. And if that's the case, I need to trust him and ask him for strength to help me accept his answer. Have you say, Jody, that's how God's speaking to me. I've been praying about it, and I realize that God may answer me in a different way than I would like. But I want God to know that if he chooses to say no, or if he chooses to say wait or whatever, I want him to know that I realize now that he's going to answer good things. You say, Jody, pray for me. I need to trust God in this. Be honest. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, that's me. Yes. God bless you. Many hands there. Many hands there. God bless you. Have you say, Jody, there's something real special I'm praying about. I'm not asking you what it is. It's none of our business. But but you say, there's something very special on my heart I'm praying about. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? There's something I'm praying about? Yes. Then what's God telling you through this message? What's He telling you? He's saying, if it really is good, you keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. If your heart's right, and it's according to my will, and I know it's good for you, you keep asking, seeking, and knocking until you find it, till you get it, till the door opens. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it in a great way. Help those who may need to join the church today to come. Help those who raise their hand to come. Somebody needs to get something right, help them to come. Somebody needs to be saved, help them to come. Somebody needs something else, help them to come. Thy will be done, I pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's beginning to sing. If God is speaking to you, if you raised your hand with anything, I'm going to invite you to come right now as he sings. You come. Come on.
There you left your
come
room
on.
This morning.
Talk to God about it. Keep praying about it. Trusting
pray
the Lord that it's good things.
In the name of Christ our
no
Savior.
No doubt about that.
Did you sue for loving faith?
Playing through softly, God is speaking. If you're getting baptized today, I'd like you to leave your place and find your way upstairs. I believe we have one following the Lord in baptism, and that's a great thing. Praise the Lord for that. I'm going to turn this service over to Brother Gary. We're getting some information here, and what we'll do, I'll recognize them from the baptistry.
Let me go ahead and give you a couple of quick announcements. Birthday offering for Jesus is ongoing. If you've not had a chance to give to that, of course, those causes are well known. Also, the offering for the trip to India. Did I hear $8,000? Is that the number I heard? Has been given. Well, there's much more than that. Is it? Somebody help me here. You don't know any more than I do you? At any rate, the church, of course, is going to give $5,000. I think there's been quite a bit more than that. But obviously, they're trying to raise $35,000. So if the Lord is moving you to give, do those things. Also, we have some books for sale. These are books to help you in your daily Bible reading. There's a daily walk Bible, and there's also a daily Bible reading schedule. Typically, we would sell those in the lobby, but we don't have a lobby. And so we're going to sell those right up front after the service. So you'll have to remember to come this way. The ladies will be here after the service this morning and tonight for the next several weeks. And you can purchase those. But the main thing is our schedule of services. Next Sunday, we'll have one service at 11 o'clock here in the auditorium. And then on January the 1st, we'll have regular service times. But we'll have a combined Sunday school at 10 o'clock here for the adults. And then regular church at night. So make sure you realize what the schedule is so that you'll know you'll be in the right place at the right time. Very good. I think they're all the announcements. Let me mention one other while the men come. We want to remind you, if we should have an emergency here in the auditorium during a service, everybody cannot fit out that door. There are emergency exits down the stairways on both sides here course, there are emergency signs, but be alert to that. Hope it never comes to that, but if it does, if everybody goes that way, we're in big trouble, all right? So if you're sitting toward the front or front half, you'll want to go out this way if need should arise. All right, let's pray. Lord, we do thank you that we can pray. What amazing thing to think that fleshly people like us can move the hand of God in prayer. And Lord, help us to be people of prayer. Help me to be a man of prayer. God, to take my needs and my burdens to you and to see you do mighty things in our lives. We pray you'd continue to provide for these special offerings, and we pray you'd meet the needs there, we pray. Pray for this one that's being baptized, you'd work in his life, that he would continue to serve you and go for you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jeremiah Green, his dad's up here with us, his mom's right in front of us there. His grandparents are here, they're proud, no doubt about that. Jeremiah was led to the Lord in the home, correct, Brother John? He was led to the Lord in the home. He's coming today to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. And while he's standing here, I don't do this often, but he's ready, by the way. He's got his handkerchief soaked and he's holding his own nose and everything up here. He's ready. But I remind you that there's no saving power in this water. This water is crossing my body like the cross where Jesus died. When I take this young man below the water, it's a picture of where Jesus was buried. I bring him back up out of the water, it's a picture of the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this young man, without ever saying a word here, is identifying that he has placed his faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful picture. Jeremiah, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus as your Savior, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. We'll send you that way and get you in some dry clothes, okay? God bless you. It's been done as the Lord has said, and yet there's room. We have Brittany and Levi Mullins. They have moved back into the area. They've gotten right with the Lord and gotten away from Crown College. No, I'm just kidding with you. They are coming today to join our church again. Joining by letter, I take it, correct? Yes. Joining by letter from the Temple Baptist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. Could I have the pleasure of the church in this? Could we? Could I have somebody, Scott? Somebody second that, Brother Cash. All in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So carry. Please be here tonight at 6:30. We're going to be observing the Lord's Supper. It's always a special time. It's a testimony service is what it is. And I encourage you to be back for that. Let's all stand together, please. I'm going to ask Brother Steve Matney, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice in prayer, please.